Father, I just thank you and I praise you for all that you do in the Lighthouse Church. I thank you, Father God, that you don't cut us any slack and that we need to be about your business and not being worldly. And Father, right now tonight, all those that came into the house of God, I'm asking, Father God, that you touch them in a special way. I'm asking, Father God, that the works you started in them, you are completing as they sit here. And Father God, you love us so much and you spoke such wonderful words over us. And I know they're true words. And so I'm asking you, Father God, I'm hearing you say you want to adjust us, tweak us just a little bit tonight. So Father God, do what you need to do. Do it quickly, Father God, and send us forth into this lost and dying generation. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Along the line with dressing, you know the story. I think I've told you two or three times when I was in the Bosco's one time. These two girls were sitting there buying clothes, and she says, do you think this will entice the pastor? And I thought, isn't that a shame? She was buying clothes just to entice the pastor, trying to bring him down into sin. She's a nice-looking girl. I'm quite sure if the pastor wasn't walking with God, she might have succeeded. I don't know. But anyhow. All right, I'm going to start out this evening with a word that God, this is a personal word God gave me. It was 5 pages long, but I took all my personal stuff out, and I just want you to hear what God said here. He said, the abomination of desolation that Daniel spoke about is upon the land, and I am moving and I am shaking and I am bringing all things to fruition that pertain to the wrap-up of the end of the ages. Many will succumb to the darkness, but there will be those that will not. Many martyrs will die at this given time at the hands of the authorities. They think they are doing what is right, but they are working for the dark side. No one will be able to say there is not a God who saves when all this comes to an end. Many will be taken because they are not strong enough to endure the tests that are coming across this land. It is not that they have sinned, but they are weak. And I am taking them while I still have them in my kingdom. Remember, I told you about that this morning. Do not fret nor be dismayed, little one, at what you see go on around about you. Stay the course and keep your hands in the hands of your Maker and march forward undaunted by the cares of this world. I am yours and you are mine. Now stand for righteousness and do not allow the enemy to steal any longer. So that applies to everybody, all right? Just not to me. This election will bring much anxiety and deep destruction, but this must take place. I will be revealing the works of darkness like never before, and I am bringing to light all that is not of me in every area of the government. Be sure of one thing, little one, the enemy will not prevail, even though it looks like he is. Donald J. Trump will be the next president, and an assassination will be plotted, but it will not come to fruition. I have my angels watching over my chosen one, and they are ordered to keep him safe from all harm. Now, we'll just see if this happens, okay? The courts have been in session for a generation now, and the jury is out for deliberation. When they return, truth will prevail over the great land called America. Excuse me. Take my word to the nations, little one, with great signs and wonders and miracles following. I have spoken, and so shall it be. So when God said, take my word to the nations, little one, he's talking to each one of you. With great signs, wonders, and miracles following, I have spoken, and so shall it be. I thought that was a really good on-time word from God. If you're really listening, God is speaking. And you need to start sitting and listening and hearing what God has to say. First of all, like I said, this was a five-page word that God gave me, and I just took out my stuff and gave you what I thought pertained to you. But see, in those other pages, God was telling me what's going to go on in my life. And I know he does that to some of you, but I think more of you need to start sitting at his feet and listening to what he wants to tell you that's going to go on in your life. Not rely on somebody else, but rely on the voice of the Father. He so desires to speak to each one of his children. Please don't count on somebody else. You know, there are times that God will confirm something through somebody else, but please start relying on him and him alone, because he knows all things. We don't. We only know in part. All right, now the message is about the Holy Spirit. Joel chapter 2, verse 28 says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit. And this is what God is trying to do right now. He's trying to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. All flesh. Do you understand that with all the lost and dying that are out there, that one person is not going to be able to prophesy to everybody? They're just not. And so God is trying to pour out his spirit upon all of you right now and get you to be a prophet so he can use you to speak into these people's lives. Because when they come in, even though God's going to be cleaning them up, they're going to have a whole lot of questions. And do you have a whole lot of answers? You know what I'm saying? This is what God spoke here. Children, it is a dispensation of time where I am pouring out my spirit upon all flesh. You must desire my Holy Spirit more than life. You catching this? You must desire my Holy Spirit more than life. It is through my Holy Spirit that great signs, wonders, and miracles are going to occur. My Holy Spirit will keep you safe from the wiles of the evil one. He will instruct you in all ways. Who's going to do this? Holy Spirit. Now, Revelation chapter 4, verse 5 says, from the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder, and before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. I'm bringing this out because God told me quite a while ago, daughter, watch for the thunders and lightnings, because that's when I'm going to be moving. And that's why I put that scripture in here. And Exodus chapter 20, verse 18 says, when the people saw the thunder and lightning, and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance. So when we see the thunders and lightnings, that's what's going to bring the fear of the Lord upon the people. In Exodus 19:16 says, on the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. God said a great fear of him is going to come across this land. And this is what's going to cause people to give their hearts to God. In Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 12, but God made the earth by his power. He founded the world by his wisdom and stretched out the heavens by his understanding. When he thunders, the waters in the heavens roar. When he makes clouds rise from the ends of the earth, he sends lightning with the rain and brings out the wind from his storehouses. Have you really been paying attention to how hard it's raining and all the thunder and lightning that is with the rain? I know that that is from heaven above. That is a sign to us, and we need to be paying attention to what's going on in the weather. Because the lightning and thunder is getting so loud that it's just about deafening. Now, a man by the name of Blaise Pascal, the French philosopher, said that all mankind was created with a vacuum that can only be filled with God. God has sent his sevenfold spirit to fill that empty place in our lives. And this is what the people are doing. They're trying to fill that void with everything of the world. And it's not working. It can only be filled by God. When we commune with God, the Holy Spirit, you know, God is the Holy Spirit, searches out the deep counsel of God. And when we commune with God, the Holy Spirit searches out the deep counsel of God and reveals it to us. 1 Corinthians 2:9-11 says, but as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. See, that's why you don't know how much God loves you, because you're not walking in the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit can't reveal those things, these deep things to you. And if you're always walking around in confusion and everything else, it's because you're not walking deep enough in the Spirit. And so the Spirit can't reveal you the deep things of God. All right. In Revelation 3:1 tells us Jesus has seven spirits of God. So Revelation 3:1 says, and to the angel of the church in Sardis write, the words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. So God had seven churches, and read that in Revelation. And then he has seven stars, which are the angels. Each church is assigned an angel. An angel has been assigned to this church also. Isaiah 11:1 says, there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord, or God's manifest presence, shall rest upon him, talking about Jesus now, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. These are the seven spirits. Let's look at it again. And the Spirit of our God's manifest presence shall rest upon him, Jesus, the Spirit of, this is what should be resting upon you. The Spirit of wisdom, understanding, Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. You should be, if you're walking in the Spirit, all of these should be on you. John chapter 3, verse 34, for he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives a spirit without measure. From this scripture, we see that Jesus has the anointing without measure. God wants us to have the anointing without measure. That's the way, only way we're going to do the greater works, is we have to have this anointing as Jesus did, without measure. Every one of these seven spirits are available to all of God's chosen ones. But we must begin with an encounter with God's manifest presence. And then all seven functions flow out of his presence, which is wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. Everything flows out of the anointing, out of the branch, and we know that branch is Jesus. And, you know, I was excited this morning when he said he was engrafting you into the branch, because I knew he was going to use that scripture tonight. We cannot operate in the sevenfold anointing without first being in the branch. John 15, verse 1 says, I am the true vine. This is Jesus speaking. It's all in red. And my Father is a vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, God takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. See, that's what we've been going through, a great pruning process. He had the biggest saw he could ever have. Sawing away all those dead branches. Amen. And verse 3 says, already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, and neither can you unless you abide in me. In other words, you cannot bear any fruit if you're not connected to Jesus. You just can't. And I see so many people saying they do when they don't. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. Remember, I told you years and years ago, God loudly prophesied to me in front of a whole congregation of people at a revival that I wasn't bearing good fruit, so he was cutting down my tree. And I was so dumb, I didn't know what he was saying. And he said, but I'm going to cut the tree down because it has bad fruit on it, but I'm going to regrow the tree and you will have fruit that others can eat. And lo and behold, you know, that came to pass. He just cut my tree right on down. Didn't even leave a little stump. But aren't you glad that God does that to you? Here I am, you know, I'm just young in the Lord, and I'm just, you know, God just using me for signs, wonders, and miracles, and here comes this prophecy, and God's going to cut your tree down. And I thought, I don't know what that means, but it must be a good thing. It was a good thing, because, you know, you have to have good fruit that others can eat. And John 14:15 says, if you love me, you will keep my commands. This is Jesus speaking. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of truth. And, the Holy Spirit reveals all truth to you. He does not let you walk around in a lie. In John 16:13, Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. So let's just stop there. So Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. So if you're a prophet, you need to be walking in the Spirit. And it needs to be the Spirit talking to the people, or you're going to lead those people astray. And the only way you can be a true prophet is if you're truly walking in the Spirit. You can't walk half in and half out. There is no such a thing that people think there is. You have to be totally walking in the Spirit. Because God, and I'm going to cover this, God said to us, Spirit is now calling unto Spirit. So if you don't have the Holy Spirit, then he can't call unto you, right? In John 14:26, Jesus says, but the Comforter, so we see here the Holy Spirit is a Comforter, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And you know that when I was first born again, I wanted to go away to Bible college. Somebody was going to pave my way. But God said, no, I don't want you to get man's doctrine. I want you to be taught by my Holy Spirit, and he will teach you all things, and he will teach you the truth. So a lot of people that went away to Bible school got their heads full of doctrine, and it's messed them up, and they are believing what they were taught, and it wasn't taught by the Holy Spirit. So if you're going to be a teacher of the word, then make sure you're teaching through the Holy Spirit and not through your charisma, because your charisma will take you out. All right. All right. I said this day, the body of Christ must ask the Holy Spirit to come into them in all of his fullness. We must have a true friendship, a length, width, depth, and height of communion greater than we have ever known. Every time before I come, I say, come, Holy Spirit. Dwell within me richly, so when I get in there and I get up behind that pulpit, it's you speaking and none of me. Are you listening? And as you keep crying out, Holy Spirit, come. That's why I wished I had an office again, because I used to go and lay on my face in the office and just cry out to the Holy Spirit to fill me full of his glory and speak through me. I'm telling you, if you don't cry out to the Holy Spirit, you're not going to be able to be used as a vessel of honor for the Father, by the Father. If you were full of the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't give in to the temptations of this world, because the Holy Spirit would not allow you to. Well, he will allow you, because he won't go against your will, but he will try really hard to make sure you don't. It is the Holy Spirit that brings the signs, wonders, and miracles. It is the Holy Spirit working through the church that brings the revival. It is the Holy Spirit that brings signs, wonders, and miracles. It is the Holy Spirit working through the church that brings revival. So if you're wondering why God isn't using you for signs, wonders, and miracles, maybe you do not have the Holy Spirit in his fullness. I'm hearing God say, you're just walking on the outskirts of the town, and you need to walk in the middle of the town and have the Holy Spirit in its fullness. You know, you could also grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit could be working with you, telling you not to do something, and you're going to give in to your flesh and do it, and the Holy Spirit will walk away. The Word of God tells us he's a gentleman, and he will not push his way into your life. If you wanted to continue in your sin, he'll let you continue, but he'll do everything that he can to cause, you know, to get you not to step into your sin nature. God wants all of his children to operate out of his fullness, you know, God's fullness, and to live in a place of a never-ending flow of the Holy Spirit. I know I used to walk in the Holy Spirit in all of its fullness, and then there came a point where God said, now, daughter, you're going to walk under the curse. And the only time I felt the Holy Spirit was when I got behind the pulpit. that was the worst time in my life. I didn't do anything wrong. God was upset with the church as a whole. And he said they were mocking the Holy Spirit. And so he was not going to allow them to do that. So he used me as a vessel to show them he wasn't going to allow them to do that. But when you walk with the Holy Spirit in all of its fullness, and you walk in the signs, wonders, and miracles, and God allows you to raise the dead, and you know all kind of things happen, you're done. If he moves that Holy Spirit, removes that Holy Spirit, you're done, because you're in a dry desert place with no hope, no hope. I said, God, just kill me. No, he said, my Holy Spirit will be with you when you teach. And he always has been, and he always will be. But I'm also experiencing him once again, continually, which is so wonderful. And I'm just waiting for the greater works to start occurring. But I want you guys to walk that way too. I don't want you to walk in just half of God. I want you to walk in the fullness of God. And if you notice, even in my daily word or even in the teachings, he's been talking about his heart. And you know, you have to get to know his heart. And when you know his heart, then you have the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You will feel everything he feels. You'll feel the negative, the positive. You'll cry when he cries. You'll laugh when he laughs. You want to know why you're doing something you're doing, but you're feeling his heart all the time. And that's where we need to abide. Abide is in the heart of the Father, filled totally and completely with the Holy Spirit. As a believer, you can wake up every day in fresh anointing. You can live as an overcomer. You can be a finisher of the race that God has set before you. How do you do that? You do that with the Holy Spirit. As a believer, you can wake up every day in fresh anointing. You can live as an overcomer. You don't have to be overcome by sin. You really don't. We've been reaching out for a closer walk with God, and we received that because God said he's opened the heavens over us. And now what we need to do is reach out for a closer walk with the Holy Spirit, to be totally and completely engulfed by the Holy Spirit, and beg him to lead, guide, and direct you. You really don't have to do that, but every now and then I do, because I need him so desperately. Because without him, I can do absolutely nothing. Without him, I'm like a bull in a china shop, just going around raging and carrying on doing my own thing. But when you're led by the Holy Spirit, it doesn't matter how upset you get. You'll just say all that stuff to yourself in private. And then when you get out where other people are at, you're just so sweet. You say, you little two-faced thing, you. You know, because you're mad in your closet. Then you walk out of your closet and the Holy Spirit hits you and say, you know, you're going to do my way. You know. And that smile comes on your face and all that honey drips off of your lips. Isn't that right? That's the Holy Spirit that does that. God's going to let you go ahead and rage and carry on in your closet. But he said, now you're going to be an example of who my son Jesus was. All right. You can do exactly what Ephesians 3:20 tells you. And this is what Ephesians 3:20 says. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Every believer has the potential to see the impossible become possible. But we get in that negative realm and we just look at the negative things around about us and we just think, well, this is never going to work. But every believer has the potential to see the impossible become possible. And I can say that because I live this type of life. I have impossible situations. There's no way in this world. And I just said that yesterday to somebody at home. I said, if God doesn't show up, it's not going to happen. You know, God is the one that makes the impossible possible. You don't. The Holy Spirit does. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 says, together with Christ Jesus, he also raised us up and seated us in the heavens. Why? So that in the coming ages he might display the immeasurable riches of his grace through his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. God raises us up to sit in heavenly places so that other people can see what a great God that we serve. In Psalm chapter 42, verse 7 says, deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your billows have swept over me. God is calling his body of believers to the deep things of his kingdom that operate through his Holy Spirit. This is the only way you're going to step into the greater works. If you cry out and receive the Holy Spirit in all of his fullness. See, we bypass him every service. I don't hear us up here saying, come Holy Spirit. Come in all your might and all your power. When I was born, the night I became born again, they sang that song before they ever started their meeting. And then as I continued to go to their meetings, every place I went, they sang that song. They invited the Holy Spirit into the service, and we had Spirit-filled meetings like you wouldn't believe. And how many of you wouldn't say, come Holy Spirit, when you're getting ready to pray? How many of you, whenever you're fighting the enemy of your soul, you say, come Holy Spirit, help me with this battle? So you bypass a very important step in your walk with God. All right, where am I at? As you enter into those deep things of God, you will be forever changed, and the enemy will have no inroads into your life. The enemy will have no inroads into your life. 3 years ago, God said religion has no place in this dispensation time, did he not? It is spirit calling unto spirit time. If we don't walk in the spirit, then God will not use us. Some of you should be right, so deep in the spirit right now that we shouldn't even need this teaching. And you shouldn't be going through all the trials and tribulations that you're going through. But because you heard it, but you didn't quite believe it or didn't just act on it, you stayed bound up in religion. And you say, I got the spirit. I don't care if you pray in tongues or not. The devil does too. That doesn't mean you have the spirit. You need to hear the truth. Are you bound up with some sort of sin in your life? Is there a bondage that's not being broken? It's because you haven't invited the Holy Spirit into that bondage. You haven't asked the Holy Spirit to come and drop on you and fight your battles for you. Are you understanding this? Our Comforter, Jesus, promised to send us a most precious gift after his glorification. He said in John 16:7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. See, Jesus was the only one that had the Holy Spirit. The disciples didn't. And he had to go away so the disciples and all of us could receive the Holy Spirit. And it was after Jesus died that the disciples did the great signs, wonders, and miracles, if you read your word. Why? Because they then had the Holy Spirit also. When Jesus was baptized, it said that the Holy Spirit landed on him. And from that point on, he was full of the Holy Spirit, and that's when he started his ministry. He never started his ministry until the Holy Spirit came upon him. All right? So are some of you trying to start a ministry without the Holy Spirit? Are you trying to do this? I just want you to think. Are you trying to do all this in your own flesh, and it's not working, and you're in bondage right on up to your head, over your head, and you can't get out? It's because you have neglected the greatest gift God could give you other than Jesus, and that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helped God and Jesus create the earth, did he not? Come on. And Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would only say what he heard the Father say. What did Jesus do? He only said and did what he heard the Father say. So after he went away, then the Holy Spirit then took his place. And God told me that now he was coming on the scene. And then when I was studying this, God said, I've brought the Holy Spirit with me too. And he said, my son is still interceding for you. So all three of the Godhead are still working for us. But now we have to get the Holy Spirit working totally and completely in our lives. Some of you people won't go into the temptations you've gone into if you really walked in the Spirit. John 16, verse 8 says, Jesus speaking again, and when he, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. He will convict who? The world. Didn't say church. The world. Why? Because they do not believe in me concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. The world cannot receive the Holy Spirit, but I want to tell you right now, there's some in the church who can't receive it either. So that's showing me that they still have the world in them. They have not given the world away. They still want to carry the world. I'm hearing the weight of the world on them, and they will not receive the peace that the Holy Spirit will bring. And John 14, 15 says, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. See, when I see you sin, then that's telling me you don't love Jesus or you'd keep his commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you. How long? Forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. The Holy Spirit's already in you. And this is why we touch people's stomachs and we break down that dam that's holding back that river of life. That river of life is the Holy Spirit that wants to well up inside of you and help you in your daily walk with God. It is totally up to you whether God uses you or not. He has offered his Holy Spirit to his family. What are you doing with the offer? It really bothers me when I see a child, a person that's calling herself a child of God, boy, they just pray in tongues and they stomp their feet and hallelujah all over the place and they're bound up. Something's amiss in your life. And that something is the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Because if you had the fullness of the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't be doing the things you're doing. Why do I feel all this stuff in the atmosphere I feel? Because the Holy Spirit is grieved at the body of Christ, because the body of Christ will not move from the world into the heavenly place, into the heavenly realm. Now, I should have told you when I started, if the shoe fits, put it on. But you'd be surprised how many people sit in the house of God and do not have the Holy Spirit. How many pastors do you know that stand up there and preach the word, but go home and cuss and fight and carry on, and you know they do all kind of evil. They don't have the Holy Spirit. I was telling Aaron about a time when I was born again, and I went to a revival, and there was a prophet there, and they took up an offering, and I had a $10 bill in my hand, and I was trying to put it in an offering plate, and God kept moving my hand. He would not let me put that $10 bill in that offering plate. They even tried to pull it out of my hand, and they couldn't even get it out of my hand, and I was trying to loose it. And God said, I do not want to bless this ministry because it's not my ministry. It's hers. And I'm not blessing her. Put your $10 away. So I suck it in my pocket real quick. See, the Holy Spirit showed me that. The devil didn't, because the devil would want to prosper one of his own, right? You need to be so very careful of everything you do. I'll say watchful. Be very watchful of everything you do in your walk with God so that you're not tripped up by the enemy. And, you know, every one of us, including me, we have times, more times than we care to admit, where we just go to our closets and act like an idiot, right? God, do this, that, and the other, chop their head off, you know. But then we say, Father, forgive me, for I know not what I do, because I'm being dumb right now. And then you say, Holy Spirit, you come and you lead, guide, and direct me. But you know, sometimes we have to go and release all that junk that's within us. And I did that the other day, and God said that I was crying. I said, God, I'm so sorry. He said, I understand you, little one. And he said, you're not really totally all wrong. But let my Holy Spirit show you what to do in this situation. I didn't like what he had me do because I had to go eat crow, right? No, I mean, if that's what God wants you to do, that's what you should do, not have to. That's what you should do if you really want to be continually led by the Holy Spirit. You know, God told me a couple services ago to no longer anoint the foreheads with the oil, but to pour the oil on the head. Now he says, I always want the oil to run down over my people's heads and run down like Aaron's beard. Now, I'm going to do what God tells me to do, whether I understand it or not. And if you don't want oil on your hair, then you don't want the blessing of God. At least I don't have a whole bottle of oil, a whole gallon of oil pouring it all over you like was done to me. People say, why are you doing this? I don't know. That's just what God told me to do, so I just listen and I obey. It doesn't matter why I have to do it that way. Then I see you playing at the bottle. Why won't this stuff come out, you say? In fact, why won't it come out? I want to know. Why can't you just go like that? See, oops, see, it all pours out. So you just have your finger over the hole saying, come out, come out, come out. And it's, I didn't know it come out like that because everybody acts like it won't come out. I got it. So it comes out, you guys, and we're not getting a dropper. Just learn how to pour it. Take a bottle home and... Take a bottle home and practice of water. We don't, you know, oil is expensive. Sister Nancy makes all the oils, and they are expensive. Well, hallelujah. So, you know, if you guys are going to put it on your head and it starts running down their forehead, get a napkin real quick and blot it. Don't let it run in their eyes. This one smells pretty good. All right, so... I love God. He has a lot of fun, doesn't he? It smells good. No leave. Oh, okay. Let that lay there. That smells really good. God has a lot of fun, and I like that in him because I used to be one of those somber people. You don't smile in the house of God. You just sit still like a robot because that's what I was taught. I was in a strict Pentecostal church when I was real little. And if you even moved, you got smacked a good one. I don't know if any of you knew that ever went to those places or not. But tonight, God does want to smack you. He wants to smack you with the Holy Spirit. He wants you to have the Holy Spirit in all of its fullness without measure. And if you really want the Holy Spirit without measure, if you come forward, God's going to give it to you.